Hi everyone, welcome back to Average Guy RV Obsessions. I am Todd, your host, and this podcast is all about sharing the stories and the adventures and sometimes chaos that comes with life on the road in an RV. I am back from hiatus. I was actually quite sick for about a week. I had that yearly sinus infection that teachers usually get and thought it'd be a not so good idea to do a podcast as I was coughing every 3 seconds. So here I am, and I'm here to talk about one of my favorite episodes and things about RV camping. Now, last podcast, we talked about our family dynamics and how RVing has, how it changes as kids grow up and how those moments evolve over time. So this week, I'm shifting those gears to talk about what kind of keeps me grounded. So that's my phone. I guess I should put it on silent. It keeps me excited and honestly keeps my RV obsessions alive year after year, and that is traditions. Now, here's the thing about me. I am a creature of habit. When I go to work, I pack the same exact lunch every day. I wear the same shoes. I have the same outfits. Kind of boring, I know. But I also love having anchors in my year. And those events I know that are coming that I plan around, I look forward to, and relive through stories. And RVing has given me some of those traditions that have become part of my life's rhythm. Some are about community, some are sports, some about magic, and pure adrenaline sometimes. So let's dive into these big traditions that fuel my RV obsessions. Now, as I go through mine, I want you to think about yours. What are your some of your can't miss RV or camping traditions? Share it with me, email it to me. I'd love to feature some of your traditions on an upcoming podcast. So the first tradition, this started way back when, and I know I touched on it earlier in a podcast, was our temple camping trip. And that's how I began the love for camping and RVing. I will say that this tradition has kind of fizzled over years, but it does deserve a moment as one of my traditions because, as I said, it lit that spark. Every year, our temple would organize a weekend at the local KOA. And again, it wasn't a fancy resort, campground with water parks or lazy rivers, but it wasn't the place that made it special. It was the people, families, sometimes first-time campers, setting up side by side, sharing meals, meals being cooked for everybody, communal meals, kids running around until sundown, adults gathering around the fire or swapping stories or sitting on porches of each other's cabins or in front of their campers. We would have our Shabbat services, which that's something that Jewish people do, usually a Friday night, Saturday morning. And it was right there at the campground, and I'll never forget sitting there having our Shabbat service as one of the members was walking around passing out Jell-O shots to all the adults. Thought that was kind of crazy, but it seemed to be a perfect mix of tradition, faith, and family fun. Now, the trip didn't just connect me to camping. It connected me also to our temple in a new way. So it wasn't just a temple for me as a religious institution, but also as a community of friends and family. I will say, as the years went on and I volunteered to take this over, we did continue some of those years at the KOA. We also moved it to some other campgrounds over at the Margarita at Auburndale, which I could tell you was very different feeling than the original ones. However, the kids loved it. The adults loved it. It was fun. It was safe. The following year, we had planned to do the temple camping trip at Fort DeSoto, which is an amazing, amazing county campground in Pinellas County. And we had a huge group, and we were really looking forward to it. And then the hurricanes hit. And the campground got flooded. And we unfortunately had to cancel the entire temple camping trip. And since then, I just think there has not been motivation to, by either myself or other families, to kind of take this up. I do hope that some of the other families will eventually pick this up as mine are getting older. And I'd love to join. However, I just don't have it in me to organize and set everything up. But I do hope that it starts for other families where they can acquire the love of camping and RVing, much like I did. So, do you have a tradition like this? Maybe a church, temple, or community group that helped kickstart your RV life? Or even some other tradition where your church or temple sparked that tradition that you hold year after year? Let me know. I'd love to, again, spotlight it on one of the podcasts. Now, here's another tradition, doing another 180. It's a tradition that combines some of my favorite things. I love baseball, I love the Tampa Bay Rays, and I love RVing. Rays opening day, baseball opening day, is a tradition for many. And if you're a baseball fan, you know that opening day all across the country is sacred. It's hope, it refreshes rivalries, it's the start of something new. And it became even more special because we made it an entire RV event. Now, to be clear, I have to tell you, I have friends who work for the Tampa Bay Rays. And at the time, they were able to get us into some great spots. And I remember our very first year, and this is when I had the Class C RV. My buddy said, oh yeah, I'll get you a spot. Great spot. So we pulled into lot one. I'm like, great, we're right up close next to the stadium. They're gonna go ahead and guide us right in. Well, instead of taking a right towards the stadium, we end up guiding us towards the left. And they just keep pushing us back and pushing us back all the way till we were under the interstate, probably about half a mile away from the stadium. And we thought, wow, I thought we'd be getting some nice priority parking. Needless to say, we didn't get that priority parking, but it did start the tradition of something that we would do every year. Now, come to find out, the next year there's actually places to park your RV. So the following year is when I did get my Class A, and there's an entire area for parking just for RVs. And we pull in, and there's a bunch of other RVs, and it's on the street, and surprisingly, it didn't cost a cent. They don't charge, which I thought was crazy, but it was perfect. Bring out the grills, the coolers, grilling out burgers and dogs. Friends and families come. With that first year, we probably had about 30 people come to the RV hours before the game, just hanging out, running around, enjoying it. And sure enough, 20 minutes before the start of the game, first pitch, we close up shop. After a few drinks, head to the game and watch that first pitch. So there's something that I love that's combining tradition of the opening day with the RV lifestyle. And it's kind of two great American pastimes just rolled into one, baseball and camping. Sports fans, if you are a sports fan, do you use your RV for tailgating? Football games, car races, baseball, soccer? Let me know. What does your RV tailgating setup look like? Send me a picture. I'd love to see it. So, I'm going to kind of not go in order here because I was going to feature this as my tradition number three, but because in a week I'm going to be doing this tradition, I want to kind of hold off on it, and I'm going to briefly mention it as my fourth tradition, but I want to go to what was my last tradition, now is my third, and that is the St. Petersburg Grand Prix. And it really just gets my adrenaline pumping. I love this event. It is an IndyCar race in downtown St. Petersburg along the water. It features the beauty of downtown St. Petersburg along with these high power Indy cars with the sound, the speed. Now, let me go ahead and tell you, in 2017, it started this way. I was with a buddy and we had general admission passes. We're walking around and like, we kind of wandered into RV Row. And the energy in RV Row was incredible. It was packed with people. People on their RVs lined up right along the raceway. And this was the very last corner all the way to the start-finish line of the racetrack. And I was like, I got to get in. This is crazy. I got to get my RV in here and do this. So I went ahead and inquired to the person in charge of it, and I said, you know, how can I get my RV? And he goes, you can't. There's a waiting list, and, you know, I guess you'd be five deep or four deep, but people don't give up their parking spaces. They're grandfathered in, and you just, no matter what, never ever give up your parking space, and there's only a limited amount of spaces on RV Row for the car race. Well, sure enough, I got an email, I'd say a few weeks before the race, saying, you wouldn't believe it, but two spots open up. He goes, I'm going to give you priority to this one spot. He goes, the guy has had this spot for 10 years, over 10 years. And he said, but he just went to jail on tax evasion, so he's not going to be able to do it this year. Would you like it? I said, absolutely. And I think at the time it was only $1,200, which, okay, I mean, it seems a lot, but it goes from Thursday all the way to Sunday. And I'm like, I can also get some buddies in on this. We could share the cost. This was spot number 9. And that means it was 9 spots from the hairpin turnaround, the very last turn of the race. I'm like, this is awesome. So Thursday night, that very first year, I remember pulling in, and the tights are extremely spot. The spots are extremely tight, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. And the person next to me, she comes out screaming. She was hammer drunk, comes out screaming. I'm like in bed already set up. She came back from the bars, and she's screaming, what the hell? Everybody, why is the park so close? And I come out, I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I've never done this before. She goes, oh, I've never done it either. I said, listen, if you want me to move over just a little bit, I'll try or whatever. She's like, oh, don't worry about it. She was so cool. And we've been friends ever since. Every year, she brings her RV back. I bring mine back. She brings her group now. Come to find out, she's from Indiana originally, living down here now. She brings this crew, and I mean crew, like 30 people come down from Indiana every year. And talking about like a RV setup, they go to town. Smokers, grills. They bring scaffolding so you could stand up high. It's incredible. But I can't tell you a better neighbor to have than Hannah and her whole crew. Now, back to my story. I found a bunch of guys, friends of mine. And a few years earlier, we had gone to the Formula One race in Montreal. And I reached out to them. I said, do you guys want to go in on this RV spot? They give you eight bands, so we could do 8 of us. Sure enough, easy as can be, 8 guys were all in. So now, year after year, all 8 of us get together on this weekend. A lot of times we don't see each other through the year, and we just have a great time. We grill, we have drinks, we walk around, we watch a race. Great thing about it is we're all from St. Pete, so people kind of come and go at will. And it's just easy. It's fun. I mean, if I could tell you some of the stories that happened during this weekend, you would be amazed. Now, a few RVs down from us, this is kind of where it gets like even crazier. There are, I think, three or four spots that they've had year after year, and they create a big U shape facing the track, and they put up a stage. They bring in a band every year, and the band plays from Saturday after the last car race until about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, and everybody is dancing. They have a full bar set up, and I mean like a professional bar set up. They have a full buffet of food. You can go and get dinner. And it's not just for people that are on RV row. It's for guests. It's for anybody that can get in there. And it is just fun. It is a blast. It's usually around my wife's birthday. So she will come in. We'll have cake. And then we'll walk down to the RV. And everybody will just be dancing, having a great time. So this has gone on, I'd say, since 2018. The COVID year was weird, but they did postpone it. But it's something that I want to continue on. Now, the eight guys have... some have come and go and been substituted with other guys. But there's a core group of, say, about five of us that have done it every single year. And I mean, I so look forward to that weekend in March. Come November, which is coming up soon, they sent out the renewals. It's gone up a little bit in price, but I still think it's a great deal split between eight guys for an entire weekend. You bring your own food, your own drinks. More or less don't have to pay for anything except your access to RV row and the car race. So, again, something I'm super excited. I will probably do a podcast the weekend of, maybe from racetrack, which could be super cool, super loud. Hopefully, it will make you feel like you are trackside just listening to it. I'm excited for it. Definitely one of the highlights of the year. Now, I want to go to my very fourth tradition. And I don't know how much I really want to get into this, because it's coming up next week, and my goal is to do a podcast from this campground. It's my all-time favorite campground, and that is Fort Wilderness at Walt Disney World. But it's not just Fort Wilderness at Walt Disney World. It's Fort Wilderness at Disney World during Halloween weekend. Let's talk about this tradition that I stumbled into, and I also can't imagine life without it. It's incredible. If you've ever been there in October, and I mean from the start of October till right after Halloween, if you haven't been there, you are missing something magical. The entire campground, it just transforms to, I don't even know how to describe it. Almost every site is decorated, almost full-on haunted house. Different themed campsites. There are blow-ups that are taller than your RV. String lights, music, entire loops that even look like movie sets. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you some of the campsites that stuck out. Number one, it might have been 2 years ago. There was a set of, I want to say, four or five sites. It must have been a group of people that booked these sites. And they did these almost like little 10 by 10 pods all the way along the loop, along the road. And each one was a scene from the Haunted Mansion. And I'm not talking about something hokey. It looked like a professional scene from the Haunted Mansion with prompts, with music. And if you walk along from the beginning to the end, it's almost like you are in the car in the Haunted Mansion going along from scene to scene. So chronologically, it was perfectly correct. It looked incredible. It was amazing. Another setup that was also really cool was the Blockbuster scene. And on their campsite, and it was huge. They had a full-size Blockbuster sign. And inside, they had a setup with actual movies. It looked like you were walking into a Blockbuster store. They had candy at the cash register. It was super cool. Super cool. Another site that I really liked was one that had the Coco theme. And I mean, it was just decorated like Coco. It had like the movie Coco. But on Halloween, they brought in a real live mariachi band. And you could sit there and just watch it for 20 minutes. And it was these five guys playing. And it just, I don't know, it just stuck out as this incredible, bringing Coco alive. Super, super cool. And the music made it even better. I've seen sites that they actually have bands that they brought in, like musical bands, where you could sit there and watch them play. I've seen haunted mansions where I remember my kids might have been 5 years old. They're going through a haunted house scene on the site, all done through tents. And, you know, they had characters jump out. Another one that is usually there year after year, however, I hear they are not there this year, are the Stormtroopers. And this one campsite, they usually get a corner, so it's a lot of land space. They probably have well over 100, you know, mini or different size Stormtroopers. And they dress them up. It was a theme. So one year is all sports jerseys, like football jerseys. I can't think of the other years, but I do remember the sports jerseys. But anyway, every year they have a theme. I do hear that they're coming around the holiday time. So I'm curious to see pictures. I won't be there. But again, I've just seen the most incredible sites, and people will get there weeks before, and sometimes they'll bring in trailers just full of decorations where they can, you know, I've seen people build these structures. Like, for instance, okay, another one that comes to mind is the Jurassic Park, where they actually built this huge Jurassic Park with a structure, and they had the Jurassic Park a Jeep, and, you know, dinosaurs. But it took them a long time, or took them days to build this structure. So I want to do a podcast from Fort Wilderness. I don't know if that's realistic or not, but this is probably my most favorite RV tradition. And going back to my obsession with RVs, just walking around the loops, seeing how people integrate their RVs and outdoor living space into Halloween decorations is super cool to look at. In fact, one morning I usually wake up very early and I just walk around. I walk around the different loops, or I'll take our little golf cart, cruise around the different loops just to kind of see things during the day and what that might look like. But the real magic comes out at night. And I know that trick-or-treating, especially on Halloween, is like nothing I've ever seen before. They usually have traffic control, usually in lines of golf carts going around. I know I'll be in the golf cart and my kids will just jump off, grab candy, jump back on. We'll cruise around some more. It's usually an entire evening event, but again, definitely my very favorite tradition. And if you really get curious to know what this is like, go onto YouTube and just type in Fort Wilderness Halloween, and you're going to see some incredible things. And I can't think right now of other sites that have stuck out to me in the past, but I know there are some that I'd be like, oh, I should have mentioned that one. I do want to do a podcast from Fort Wilderness, so hopefully that will happen. If you've ever been to Fort Wilderness, let me know. If there's another time of the year where you think is absolutely amazing, let me know. I have been there at the holiday time. While it is great, it is not Halloween, in my opinion. Halloween is the peak time to be there, and it's almost impossible to get a campsite. You do have to book year and a half in advance. As soon as it's open, It gets booked up right away. So I feel very fortunate. This might be my last year. My kids are at the age where not so super excited about it because they want to go trick-or-treating with their friends. We'll see. Anyway, I'm looking forward to it. And I can't wait to tell you about what happens next weekend. So when I looked at these four traditions, the temple camping trip, the Rays opening day, Fort Wilderness at Halloween, the St. Pete Grand Prix, they couldn't be more different. One's about faith and community. One is sports. One is family magic. One's just adrenaline and friends. So here's what ties them together. RVing has given me a way to build these traditions. They give me something to look forward to. And they also give me something to plan around and something to relive through memories. They keep my RV obsession from being about the vehicle itself, which it really is, and also makes it about the life I get to live with it. Here's my big question for you. I think almost everybody has some sort of tradition. What tradition has RVing helped you create? Is it that annual family trip, special event, or maybe just a place that you like to go back to year after year because it feels like home? Let me know. Again, I would love to feature you on a future podcast spotlight because they're not just about my stories, about your stories too. All right. That's about it for this episode. It was one of my favorites to talk about. I feel like I'm kind of getting better at this podcasting thing. I'm trying not to follow my outline too much, but talking about traditions is so passionate for me, and I want to keep that going. I want to keep going with the podcasts that give me that passion where I could share with you. So I look forward to future podcasts. And until next week, hopefully at Fort Wilderness, thanks for joining this podcast, The Average RV Guy and Average RV Obsessions. Take care. Bye.